Today on Real Life Radio.
They must come to Christ. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. There must first be a breaking of that person in their heart. They must realize, I need Jesus. And then a lasting true joy comes to them.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message called, Is This Your Heart? Part 2. You know, the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke the physician could do. Here now as we continue in Chapter 8, we'll see how the heart is the very core of who we are. You see, in this teaching, Jesus brings us face to face with who we are. The gospel message is now presented before the eyes and the ears of the world. His message comes by invitation. So to accept or reject his offer of salvation solely rests upon us. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that a heart that is unwilling to commit often agrees with the gospel message. It will even embrace the fact that the gospel is an influence, but in time, the heart will soon reveal its lack of sincerity and depth. Now, in his message called, Is This Your Heart? Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Christian, listen, if you're here this morning and you have not yet heard this, you need to hear this now. Yes, Christianity is a joy. Yes, it's fulfilling. Yes, Jesus is the only way to heaven. But listen, the Bible tells us it can be tough along the way. It's true. In Matthew 13, verses 5 and 6 and verse 21, Matthew records his messages this way. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root in themselves, they withered away. Verse 21, Matthew 13 says, this kind of person endures only for a while. We just don't know how long a while is. He just says, just for a while. Because when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. If somebody comes and mocks you or makes fun of you or says you're silly for being a Christian, that hurts your feelings so much that your feelings are ruling over you, your feelings are in control, and boy, I'm just not going to take a stand for Jesus anymore, and maybe I'll just play it safe and not set myself up like that, and you begin to protect yourself. And that can be a very dangerous thing, very subtle, there's no doubt about it, but it can lead to very dangerous things. Because what happens when persecution and tribulation arises in our lives? We back up instead of leaning or moving forward. Jesus is faithful to teach the Word of God, black and white, up and down, the joys and the sorrows of it. Dr. Ironside says, the servant of God is to present to the people of God the truth of God, warts and all. Not just the joyful scriptures, but those that also speak of the sacrifice, of the love, and of the hardship. Jesus said in John 8:31, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth, Jesus said, will set you free. And then also in verse 6, a heart unable to go deep, Jesus teaches us it's a heart that fails to invest in the things of God. Notice it says here, they lacked moisture. The roots went searching but found no water. They tried, perhaps, maybe, to go deep. The seed, the Word of God, is an awesome and amazing thing. Church, just when I, and even when I quote, a verse, just a verse of the Bible. It goes out into the airwaves. Imagine this for a moment. Picture it in your cartoon head, a seed. I speak John 3:16, and whoop, it's a seed. Looks just like a grain of rice, okay? It flies across the sanctuary, and it's going to go down into every heart that's listening. You got your ears, and you listen, and boop, it's going to hit. That doesn't happen, in my opinion, without quoting Bible, without knowing Bible. I think it's the Word of God that has the power. So when it goes out, it's going to affect. It may affect someone toward coming to Christ. It may affect someone who says, I don't want Christ. But the decision's going to be made. But the tragedy here is that in this heart, there's no moisture. That is, they never acted upon the truth that came to them. They talked about it. They watched it. They said yes to the message. They even might have come forward. They may have even gone so far as to be baptized. But I like what R. Kent Hughes says about this. Listen to this. He said, these are half Christians, which realize that with Jesus comes difficulties and disciplines. And in the time to surrender, once again, they go back into the world rather than to Christ. It is these half-Christians that often become the greatest hindrances to the spreading of the gospel because they live in a bitter, disgruntled way toward Christ. That's a dangerous thing. Point number two in our study this morning is this. Jesus is asking us this morning, is this your heart? Verse 13, is it a heart unwilling to commit? A heart unwilling to commit. Verse 13 says, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word of God with joy. First thing we see is that they agree with the message. Notice that they hear the word, they're listening to it, and they'll even receive it with joy. They agree with the message. There's no debate there. You may be sitting here this morning saying, okay, you know, I've been coming for the last few weeks. I agree with what the Bible has to say. You can agree with what the Bible has to say forever. These people agree about the message. That's how their initial response begins. They say, oh yeah, hey, that's great. I need that. I want that. And so they get up and they make a commitment, it looks like. But watch this, everyone, a commitment. And I know this is tough. We live in a very difficult time of human history. When we talk about commitment, okay, you tell your child, all right, you really need to be committed to this. Well, how long do I have to do it? You've got to really be committed. Do I have to do it now? Commitment means now all the way through to the end. If that doesn't get you, how about this? You're doing a wedding. And you're inviting them to commit to one another. Can you imagine if a husband said, I vow this day to give you my life, my love, and my faithfulness for as long as I feel like it. That wedding would stop. I'm telling you right now, it would stop. If she didn't stop it, I would stop it. Can you imagine? You say, Jack, that would never happen. It happens every day in Christianity, so-called. Oh God, I'm committed to you. Oh Jesus, let's sing that song again. Oh Jesus, all to thee I give. How long do I have to give him all? Lord, I worship you. How long's the worship service going to begin and last and end anyway? The pastor says, let's pray. How long's that prayer going to be? The Bible says, live for God. How long is that? Commitment. You know, that's one of the most, according to people who say so, one of the most attractive things about the cults, that they demand commitment. So people flock to the cults. Christianity, if people are listening, is the ultimate commitment. We just don't use swords to enforce it. We just don't automatically deduct money from your bank account for tithing. All that's coercion. If you want to give, give. If you want to be committed, be committed. Jesus is simply saying, here's the seed. What are you going to do with it? You say, Jack, I don't know if I like that. I'd rather have Jesus walk up to me, pull out a club, knock me over the head, and drag me into heaven. He's not going to do that. He won't do that. He's not a despot. He's not a tyrant. Every one of us in the hearing of my voice will be responsible for their decision. What kind of a heart are you? What kind of a heart is in you? That's the hard question. And you can agree with what the gospel has to say. Second point under this, a heart unwilling to commit, it receives the message's influence. People can say, yeah, boy, you know what? That guy's a Christian, or that leader's a Christian, or that mayor is a Christian, or those people are Christians, and look what they've done, and oh my, the hospitals and the libraries and the humanitarian outreaches around the world, they will agree and they will receive the fact that the gospel changes lives and it is a great influence. They will hear the message. They receive the fact that the gospel has influenced the world. They can reckon with that. But it doesn't go any further than that. Now, people, just by nature of this study, this thing is deep in our hearts if we'll let it go deep. This morning, the temptation is for you to mix up the messenger with the message. You need to divorce yourself from this messenger and listen to the message. You might say, well, Pastor, you're not entertaining me enough. I'm not supposed to. You're not being very funny today. This is serious. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, it speaks about this kind of heart that we're addressing this morning, a heart that is rock hard. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4, Paul the Apostle says, it is impossible to restore to repentance those who were once enlightened, those who experienced the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted, by the way, they never ate, they only sipped, the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the age to come, who, when they turn away from God, it is impossible to bring such a one again to repentance, because they are nailing the Son of God to the cross again by rejecting him, holding him up to public shame. See, when you say, oh, I understand the influence and the power and I agree and I receive. But you know what? About 2 years ago, I stopped going and I got into these other things, or this job took me away, and everything is just fine with them now being distant from God. According to Jesus, they live a life where they never quite return back to God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, since a promise remains to enter into God's rest, let us fear, therefore, lest we also seem to come short of it. For indeed, the gospel is preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard was not mixed with faith. It did not profit them when they heard of it. This is very serious stuff. Verse 13 goes on, listen to this. A heart unwilling to commit, it rejoices in what the message does. It says that they received the word with joy. This is wild. You say, Jack, what are you saying? Watch this. Four types of hearts. Jesus lists three of them. By the time we come to the end of this series, he will have listed three of them. They all heard the word, and in some way they responded in some way. They certainly all reacted. But there's only one heart that goes to heaven. That's why this is so critical. These hearts don't make it to heaven. These are the descriptions of people who will not be in heaven. Jesus says so. And that's why there's such a seriousness about this message. How do you know you're going to be there? You know me, and when I preach the gospel and teach the word of God, I revel in the fact that the Bible says these things have been written that you might know you have eternal life, and I know I do, and many of you know you do. But how do we know? Why is it that we know and some don't know? There's honest doubt that rips people off who are going, but they don't feel like they're going. Then there are those who, in some cases, I see people never thinking or doubting one second, and their life is absolutely opposite from God. And they just think, well, I'm going to go. If there's a heaven, I'm going to go. Like they get there by default. There are those who just don't let the kingdom in their life, in their heart. And yet they can tell you all about the things of the kingdom. I've been to church all my life. Don't tell me. You hear that? So what are you saying? That's how you get to heaven? Going to church all your life? It's not how you get in. This heart rejoices. If you and I were to see this kind of a heart right now, we would say, my goodness, look at that wonderful believer. Jesus says they don't continue. Church, come on, should we rejoice? The Bible says rejoice always. Amen. But the verse that Jesus here shows us is that they are emotionally responding to the gospel. It has no depth to it. Dr. Ironside says again, the danger with preaching and teaching a popular gospel is that it leads people to the joy but never warns them of the dark and difficult days that are sure to come. And in the end, the man is disillusioned, confused, feeling abandoned by God and alone among men. Boy, isn't that true? That's a powerful word. It is a false and dangerous thing to invite somebody to know God without telling them their need for Christ. They must come to Christ. He's the Savior. He's the Messiah. There must first be a breaking of that person in their heart. They must realize, I need Jesus. And then a lasting true joy comes to them. Let me put it to you this way. I don't believe we should ask anyone, oh boy, this is going to stir the ranks. Hear me out before you panic. I would never in my life ever invite someone to join a church. I have never done it. I will never do it. I will never ask someone to become a member of a church. First of all, I don't find any of those things in the Bible. Nowhere. I will invite people to come to know Christ. I will invite people to give a heart, deep commitment to Jesus as Lord and Savior. I will. Lisa gets, my wife gets so upset with me because we'll be talking to somebody somewhere and they'll say, oh, I saw the sticker on your car or your t-shirt. We're looking for a church. And I kid you not, and she'll just poke me. I just trust God on this. I'll tell them, and they don't know that I'm a pastor. They just assume I'm a Christian because I have a Christian t-shirt on. I'll say, well, you know what? There's a lot of great churches in this area. Look in the phone book, start visiting churches, visit each one consecutively 4 weeks, praying before you go to the next one and let God speak to you. Why did you tell them that? Why didn't you tell them to come to Calvary? I want God to tell them to come to Calvary. Believe it or not, bar the door, we pray every service, you guys. Lord, bring here to this church those that you want here and those you don't want here, don't bring them here. It doesn't make them any less or greater. It's just God, have your will. But don't invite someone to sign up and join a church because what they wind up walking away with, without conviction of their sin and their need for the Savior, is this. Wow, cool. I'm a member of a church now. What do I do next? And do you understand? You'll breed within them a false sense of hope. You'll breed within them a membership Christianity. I'm in the club. And there are so many people walking around today who say things just like that. I'm a bona fide member. I was baptized as an infant. Don't talk to me about God. I give money once a year to nonprofit organizations. They have these things. But their heart has never been broken to receive the seed, and they don't grow. Final point this morning, is this your heart? Jesus is asking, verse 13, a heart unbelieving in the end. It's a heart that is unbelieving in the end. Jesus said, and this is amazing, hang on to your seat. These are they who have no root, who believe for a while. Every Christian, you guys, can you hear me? Pull out a pen. If you don't have a pen, take your neighbor's pen. Mark that down, please. Who believe for a while. Mark that down. Put it in parentheses, highlight it, whatever it takes. This is what you want to do, and I'm sharing something very personal. Dear God in heaven above, don't let me ever be someone who believes for a while. Do you hear me? I plead with you. Don't be someone who believes for a while. This is alarming. They only believe for a while. The Bible tells us in Matthew and in Luke that the reason why they give up is because when they sprout and they grow, the sun comes and scorches this beautiful looking thing and it withers up and it dies away. And what really is being announced there is that the sun Jesus speaks about is a type of difficulty in life, persecution, tribulation, hardship. When it comes, the flower withers. Unbelieving in the end. It doesn't make it in the end. Have you ever been? You had to have been to a model home. You ever go to a model home just to look at model homes? Never to buy one. You got to be crazy to pay this kind of money for these homes. It's not even, I think it's illegal. Anyway, when you pull up to a model home, I mean, let's be honest, is it not incredible? Doesn't it just suck you right in? I got to tell you, it sucks me in enough to take a camera, to copy all their good ideas, to go home and try to copy it at home. You pull up, if you notice, the curbs are perfect. Guys notice curbs, I don't know why. Look at the mailbox is perfect. The plants, have you noticed the plants are perfect? The lawn is perfect. Everything's perfect. Like a Stepford wife weirdness, perfect. And Because it's all, you know, they bring the plants in on Friday. They have trees. They bring them in and they stick them in the ground, and then Saturday it's open house. Have you noticed that? And if we have one of our good hot spells, have you seen those, man? Those plants are dying and the landscaper is replacing them as fast as he can plant them. But look, it's a beautiful tree. It's a beautiful plant. It ain't got no roots. It looks great. But as soon as the sun comes up, the grass is starting to turn brown, and that glorious tree has been murdered because it's had no time to grow before the heat arises and the intensity comes. Listen, Christian, it's kind of like one of our California earthquakes. You never quite know how well your house is built until it shakes. And God makes sure he sends a shaking to our lives to test our faith. And we don't like it. Of course we don't like it. It doesn't say when the shaking comes, like it. It says when the shaking comes, endure it. Look to God. He's going to get us through. Shaking must come. Physical, financial. It's got to come. Every time you and I sit in the Bible study or read our Bibles, the knowledge is in our head. It's the shaking that knocks it into our hearts. It's the trials, it's the difficulties. It's when the husband says, or when the wife says, or when the kid has this disease, or when this happens, it's the shaking that knocks it down. Some people are shaken by events and the seed of the word of God goes right out of their ear and it falls on the ground. God's desire is that when the shaking comes, it goes deep. It just falls like a cog into the spot. Kapunk. And the word of God germinates and it's there and the roots go deep. What do we learn by this? Very quickly, time reveals what we're really made of. I get excited, and so you should as well, when someone makes a decision for Jesus. But every time you see one, somebody raise a hand or come forward at a crusade, you pray for them because time will tell. And by the way, let me say that without sounding mean about it. It's not like, oh, hey, you new believer. Oh, time will tell. That's not what I'm talking about. That's mean. We want to encourage them, love them, and bless them, and give them everything they need to make it. But at the end of the day, it's their heart. Are they serious about God? You know what? The great thing about heaven, many great things about heaven that we could never number. One of the great things is everyone up there wanted to be there. Can you imagine somebody, what are you doing? I don't know what I'm doing here. Well, come on, man, put on a happy face. There's no one up there going to be going, man, is this it? None of that. You're going to be there because you want to be there and you came through Jesus to get there.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Life Radio with his message called Is This Your Heart Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, Pastor Jack's book of the month is a must-read for every Christian in our nation today. It's called Letter to the American Church, and it really is an earnest wake-up call. Best-selling author Eric Metaxas warns us of the haunting similarities between today's American church and the German church of the 1930s. The parallels Metaxas reveals are astounding. Can we avoid the fatal mistakes the German church made during the rise of Nazi Germany? Silent in the face of evil, is the American church guilty of that same silence? We may find ourselves at this moment in time at a crucial crossroads in church history.
It's historic, it's current. Eric Metaxas has done an amazing job in speaking, I believe, by the Holy Spirit to the current church in America and where she needs to go and what she needs to do if she's going to be a witness.
Letter to the American Church by Eric Metaxas is available for your gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.